What's really good with you guys? I'm Johan Francis. This right here is Ego Killer, my show. Thanks for joining me. And this is the exploration of the human condition. The type of exploration that sees us try to minimize differences and glue together as tribes people, right? Forgetting that our differences actually matter, because they don't. They're the only thing that separates us. And of course, this show is only to do an honest deep dive on what you guys have been going through lately, what I have too, what I've seen you guys go through over the past 20 years of being a coach, and try to illuminate. Like, I'm like giving you another pair of eyes, another vantage point. I'm glad you guys are here. Today I want to talk about extreme challenges. You guys know me. I've always been in the gym thinking, training for, or seeing workouts through the lens of fighters. And one of the things that I love about fighters, about fighting, about the art of martial arts, is that it is so very universal, right? It's not just about team. It's not just being sold on a mission that's kind of ephemeral. And I found that in martial arts, right? So after I stopped playing football, I got into boxing, and then I started to meet more and more people about this lifestyle. That was the first type of extreme challenge that I saw, and again, that was the lens that I saw inside the gym. But there are so many more. Extreme challenges are those things like extreme sports, right? Like ultra marathons, which are gaining in popularity. Like triathlons. Like Superman, Superwoman races. Like doing your bouldering and mountain climbing. Like doing super long rides. They could be professional. They could be professional, right? These could be challenges that have everything to do that see you guys working inside some high stress or high demand, high risk type of fields, right? Some of you might be medics, paramedics. You know somebody that is. Some of you guys might be heart surgeons. Some of you guys are out here, you know what I'm saying, like kicking down doors and rescuing youngsters, rescuing babies, doing the thing, right? You're modern day heroes and heroines. That's another type of professional example. Maybe it isn't so glamorous. Maybe it isn't so glamorous. And you're climbing the corporate ladder underneath high-pressure deadlines, complex projects. You're attaining leadership roles inside the world of professionalism. Maybe it's personal. You know me. I love to see you guys hit them personal milestones. And you're trying to tackle really tough conversations with family members and unweave that matrix of complicated roles inside of family dynamics. Maybe some that have seen you guys kind of fall to the back. Maybe it is just, you know, in creative pursuits. You're working on a new, you know, type song and you need to get some inspiration. You're a guitarist, you're a bassist, and you need to go and get some inspiration. So your job is to go out there and experience life. Someone that writes a lot needs to do the same thing. Big life transitions, right? Still another example. Big life transitions where you actually accept what might perceptibly be a type of rock bottom for you, right? And so your next job is to change directions on your life. That oftentimes, in fact, the feeling that I get when I think of the nature of training really hard for competition, the fatigue that you feel, and the satiety and just all around winning that you feel when you're done. It feels the same when you do a major life transition, right? Moving from one coast to the other. Coming up into or falling out of a really nice, comfortable tax bracket, right? Maybe it's giving up an addictive type substance that was up in your life and you really have to make sweeping changes, giving up talking to certain type of people. So all of these are kind of extreme challenges and pursuits that you guys do and that I've seen over the years that I've heard about. And what's interesting about this is that everybody does it, right? Somebody that I meet that doesn't look very equipped maybe to start taking boxing loves boxing. Why? Because it's an extreme physical challenge. What I notice about those folks is, and what is very prevalent just in the world of fighting, right? I don't even want to make it like super niche, but even in this world of fighting, how popular have Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu become with men and women over the last, like, 5 years even, Extremely. And that's because the people that you work with, that you see every day, all of a sudden, they're not just into putting on, you know, fancy colored shorts and gloves. They actually want to learn to spar and defend themselves. And so that becomes the zeitgeist inside of fitness, inside of extreme challenges. All right. CrossFit's been around for a minute. Powerlifting's been around forever, right? These are also types of extreme challenges people run, those long distance races. So we know, what does it take? I want to talk to you guys about what it takes. When next time you guys want to take up a physical challenge, and again, this could be in accordance with your lifestyle, no matter what your lifestyle entails, because you could go do, you're a Google search away from picking up a pair of gloves, picking up a road bike, putting on a bib and a onesie, and going for a long ass run. So I want to talk about it. What is it about the risk reward imbalance? Because these things are oftentimes way more risky, and they see, well, they're way more rewarding than they are risky, but they're very risky, especially in the beginning, that keeps us all addicted. All right, whether it is just physical or other. So look, I believe the need to challenge ourselves is pretty innate and has everything to do with the way we thought back in the day as tribes. When humans lived in tribes, there was always a threat of other humans coming along and taking your shit. Maybe it was predatory animals coming along and eating your shit. And so being on the ready, the physical and mental ready, is pertinent. There is a part of our genome that has this very beautiful feedback loop where if you challenge yourself more, it gets satiated. It feels good to challenge yourself. It is nice, dare I say, euphoric, to overcome a challenge. Maybe it was to get your master's degree or something like that, and you did that, right? Maybe it was to change job fields, and you did that. And it has a lot to do with, we like to keep ourselves sharp. How do we do it? How do we do it? How do we master extreme challenges? How do we accept them and then get to the point where we can actually... Because look, for every challenge that you do take on, you're not just going to go in there and win all of them. It's going to be quite the challenge, literally, right? It's going to be quite an uphill battle sometimes if you're trying to do some really extreme things in your life, right? Maybe you've just been assigned a new group of cohorts that you're supposed to lead at work, right? You're the leader now. This is your project, right? You were begging for all the shine. You were begging for all the attention. You're the squeaky wheel all day, and now you got that. You got the call. You got the phone call, and now you got to produce, right? Like when I was training some of the fighters a few years ago, what I would get the call for me, and it was like time to raise my game. Time to raise my game. Like I know a lot about strength training, but now I have to go in and train a team of fighters. I have to go in and sharpen another fighter's proverbial sword so that they're ready for competition in combat. And so it heightens me to my game. I got the call when I used to spar with other teams, right? I got the call. And so I had to be ready. I had to be eating right, sleeping right. I had to be on time, ending work on time so I could go and train, right? Ease yourself into it with these few things. So I want you guys to think about taking on challenges piece by piece, just like progressive overload. All right? Literally, if you wanted to be able to lift the most amount of weight you've ever done on a bench press or a back squat in your life, you need to teach your body to accept the demands of a back squat that is percentages above your body weight, for example. You need to be able to accept that. So what do you do? Right, we know that you can squat 250, 200, two plates, five times. Next time you go in the gym, you have to start doing it six times. You have to train your body to create motor units that correspond to the muscles that you need to use. You need to also accept psychologically the feeling, the feedback loop of adrenaline. You need to also your bones need to remodel around the movement pattern. That in where your legs need to bend a certain way to do a squat. Your bones need to adjust. All of this is called progressive overload. Apply it to any challenge. Okay? Apply it to any challenge. Add a percent of progress to any of your future challenges. All right? Number two, I want you guys to think about it. Visualization is huge. Visualization is huge. When you convince your mind that the outcome you perceive is just around the corner, your brain responds with familiarity. All right? The familiarity that you get from performing a task that you've practiced inside your mind, visualizing all the little pieces, and I've talked about this before, is not only super satisfying, but it is very, like, your brain knows how to respond. It has been proven to improve your physical performance and to help with your goal attainment. To go and do a mental rehearsal, right? You got to really kind of think audaciously about your life. Think about the most bombastic goals that you can set for yourself. If you do that, I can call you an ambitious person. If I can call you an ambitious person, it's because you've thought outside of the normal comfortable confines of what you think you're able to do. It should feel a little crazy. It should feel a little bit as if you're making a mistake. Setting audacious goals for yourself, right? Thinking about doing, you know, the longest marathon you've ever done before, longest run you've ever done in your life, should feel challenging to the point of nerve-rattling. I'm not going to lie to you. All right? When you think that way, we're setting audacious goals. In order to do that, we already have to kind of employ a measure of visualization. You already see yourself doing the audacious, bombastic thing. You see yourself progressing through it, and more often than not, you're going to see yourself succeeding, right? Maybe you run this mental rehearsal through your mind a bunch of times, and one, maybe like three times at first, twice, you see yourself falling flat on your face. Well, guess what? You keep practicing mentally. You keep rehearsing mentally. Tie up all those loose ends mentally. What ends up happening is those scenarios where you fall flat on your face, where you fail and take that L, they start to happen a lot less. And it's a beautiful thing when your brain knows how to respond from such familiarity, right? Right? Like, let's say that it is your dream to be an entrepreneur. Like, you're someone who went to college. You're someone who maybe didn't even go to college. You just decided that to fall into something that's really kind of quotidian. You didn't wake up and ask too many questions. You're not a really creative, open person. You just want to get through the end of your day, make a little money. Maybe you got a small family that you're trying to support. Maybe you're just trying to support yourself. But something gets into your psyche about opening a business. And so this becomes one of the bigger challenges. Forgetting that 20% of new businesses fail in 2 years, 45 in the first five, right? You're off and running. And this is one of the extreme challenges that you're going to face, right? You need to be able to think about deeply all the reasons you're starting your business. And I'm going to say, I couldn't imagine anyone that's an entrepreneur and wants to be one that sees themselves failing. Because the odds are so high. So what would you visualize? You'd visualize making a lot of money. Security. Right? Moving to the good side of town. Right? The good side of town where the streets are really wide and there's oak trees everywhere. The side of town where there's like, where people don't hang out on the sidewalk. You know what I mean. Right? What else do you visualize if you're an entrepreneur starting a business for the first time? What would be positive visual mental rehearsal? It would be being accepted for the loans that you need to get, right? Now you start rehearsing, how would you pitch yourself? All of these things provide a measure of familiarity and euphoria for your mind. All right? Practice that. And speaking of practice, deliberate practice is something that I've kind of been thinking about, and I want you guys to utilize the next time you come up against extreme challenges. You want to do an extreme challenge physically, right? You want to start running for a marathon or something like that. You're going to need a lot of practice. Literally, you're probably going to have to start doing some type of split and seeing if you can't cut pieces of that marathon down so that you can maintain a certain type of pace. That's called deliberate practice. Deliberate practice. Break up the task, the goal that you have. You got to break it up into small pieces and practice the weaker points, the weaker parts of your goal more than you do the strengths, right? You practice them until they become, until you get an outcome. Then you go back and think about that outcome. And then after that, you go back in for even more reps. Nothing is more clear than working in a boxing gym or doing like fighting, right? Or even jiu-jitsu if you guys are into that. Right? And if you're not, I'll tell you this. I met this dude a long time ago. His name was Billy. I went into the gym. You know, I was at a point in my life, very transitory phase in my life, where I wanted to start working inside the boxing gym again. And I went, all these guys told me to call up Billy. So I finally get a hold of Billy. Right? I go in to train with him and his team. But before I can train with him and his team, he wants to work with me on certain types of punches and drills. In the middle of the day, I have to travel by train like 35 minutes up north. I get to the gym and I'm working with Billy. And even though I kind of knew how to box already, right? I'd been practicing on and off for a few years at that point. Probably like, I don't know, six. On and off. Very, very on and off. And now I'm kind of like, nah, I'm done with the on and off. Let's get it. And, what did Billy have me do? He had me do footwork drills. Jump rope, maybe I hit the bag by the end of this hour, but I'd be doing hella footwork drills. I'd be in my footwork stance, like a boxing stance. I take one step forward. I take one step out, like laterally, a turn, and then I turn back inside with a little stutter step, facing a different direction. Hands are up. I do it again. Every time I did it, I'd end up oriented facing another direction. Deliberate practice. All the deliberate practice that I was using at that point was to get me sharp so that I could look at the outcomes, evaluate, do more reps, my adaptability was really high for boxing. Not only that, but look, if after a few days, and by the way, I did this for a good sheesh, like 3 sessions, 3 weeks, my legs were sore the first 2 times I did it. And then I remember I come in one of those days, like a few days later, right? And I come in and he's like, all right, let's see some footwork. And he goes, start adding punches. So here I am boxing and I didn't even add punches yet. Deliberate practice. All of this was meant to, and if I walked out early because it was too boring, guess what? That was deliberately me going to be deliberately walking out the door to deliberately never box again. And that would have been probably a desirable result. Because we weren't there for that level, me, anyone, if you're not there for the detailed, really, level of repetition it takes to take on extreme challenges, well, you might have to shift gears a little bit. You might have to shift gears. And lastly, like, think about how tough these things make you. I believe that building resilience inside of your mind is a skill, that you can actually do it. You can do it through meditation, first off. You can do it with cognitive therapy and immersion. These things help build resilience or toughness inside your mind. Meditation just teaches you to remember the good parts of your mind are always present. And that thoughts, what I can kind of coin mental contaminants, right, that build up during your day and during your life, aren't a reflection of you, but is a reflection of the ego taking in information from the outside world. Meditation helps you deal with stress. If you're trying to quit a lot of habits, cognitive therapy actually helps a lot, because you start to identify things outside world that trigger you to take up a certain action. You could change the action and change the result. All of these things are great for building resilience. And guess what? I have all the confidence in the world that you guys can do that. And if you start building resilience and toughness, what ends up happening with that is you actually become tougher. You get tougher. Like, let's say day one, you get scared off by a challenge. Like, you wanted to take on, you wanted to start talking to some estranged members of your family, right? You get scared off the first time. Well, a little bit of introspection, a little bit of time off, and thinking about all the moves you need to make, building a little resiliency, right? Whether it's this case, whether it's you trying to do an ultra marathon, things that have been picking up in popularity in the last 5 years. Maybe it's something like that. Building that toughness and identifying things from the outside, having a tolerance for stress, which I think we don't as a society have a very good tolerance for stress at all. I think we have an actually pretty low tolerance for stress. And I mean quite low. You know what I mean? We have very thin skin. I think actually taking time for us to develop these resilience skills helps. And when you guys do it, you will notice that after day one, maybe you fail a challenge. Well, if you practice this day 1,000, day 101 maybe, that you try again, because you will try again, you are not going to fail the same challenges. Toughness is a beautiful thing. It actually multiplies the more you work on it. Kind of like doing bicep curls. All right? So look, I want you guys to make sure that you do take on challenges like that. I want you to push yourself to the limit, because it's the only way that I'm going to see you guys get better. And I know that's what we all want to do. All right, cool. More importantly, though, I want you guys to stay all the way up. Thanks for listening to Eagle Killer. Find more at CoachJohanCSCS.com for live workouts and more. And join the show at EagleKillerShow.com. Late.